Thank you, Moanis. It's such a privilege to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? I don't know if you're feeling it, but God is the king of this house, isn't it? And it's a privilege to be here and to know him and come together as the sons and the daughters of the living God. Do you feel like a son in the house of the Lord this morning? Do you feel like a daughter in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. I just love the body of Christ. I just love it when we come together. And Moanis and Janet have been such an example in leading this body and this church. And I'm looking at all these faces. I'm really excited for this year and what God has in store for us. But before I speak too much, let's just pray quickly. Father God, we thank you that you are God, that you are exalted. There's no one like you, Father. You are the beginning and the end, Father. And today it's not about us. It's not about this house, Lord. It's not about what we've done. Lord, it's just about you. And we want to say, Lord, we want to lift your name on high here today. No other name, Lord, deserve honor or glory above your name. And we say, Father, come and have your way among us, Lord. Open our eyes so that we'll see you for who you truly are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good. I just want to say, I'm honest, there's someone here today that knows me longer than you do. Zimmy, woohoo! So Zimmy and I was in small group together since, we joined 2005 or something. So when we come a long way, so she'll tell you if you're speaking the truth today or not. So if you really want to know, you must speak to Zimmy. Okay, so we're busy with a series called In My Father's House. Okay, Moanis started last week, and so I'm continuing this week. I'm basically sharing the same message. God is never confused. He knows what we must say. He knows, you know, what the Spirit is saying to the churches, and we should be obedient and following in that. So Moanis didn't listen to his sermon, but he did preach it last week. And if you want to listen to it, you can go download it and just catch up on what we've been talking about. So I'll be continuing with that today. And just to make it clear, in my Father's house, when we talk about in my Father's house, we're talking about the church today. Okay, so we're talking about the body of Christ, which is us, the bride of Christ. Okay, so there's many names, but we call it the Father's house. And I love that term because when I think of a Father's house, it's warm. I come, I can, you know, I can go anywhere, I can ask anything. So just remember that the church, the body, we're coming into the Father's house. Okay, I'm excited. Question I have for us this morning, and maybe I should stand behind the speakers, is that why did we come to church this morning? Why did we come to the house of the Father this morning? Now, it's a simple question, and I'm sure there's a lot of right answers, and there's also, you know, a few things that we can think about when we think, why did I come to the house of the Lord this morning? And I want you, where you are, just think quickly. What was my main reason this morning for coming to the house? You know, it can be something like I had to be at intercession, or I had to lead worship, or even I really want to meet with the Lord, or I have a need, or I am broken, or I really need refreshing in my life, or maybe just I came because I wanted to check out what this church is all about. Okay, so whatever the reason is, I want you to keep it in the back of your mind. As we go along today. So last year, God started speaking to me about his house. And if you read the Old Testament, you'll see there's a lot of speaking about the house of the Lord. A lot of, you know, like David, he couldn't wait to build a house for the Lord. So I said to the Lord, what is this big deal with the house of the Lord? That was exactly my words. It's a bit arrogant. So don't speak to the Lord like that. But I came to the Lord and said, Lord, why is there so much about your house in the Word? What is it that we're not getting about the house of the Lord? Why is it so prominent everywhere in the Word of God? And why should we be in love with the house of the Lord? Why, like I ask, do we come together as a body in the house of the Lord? And God made it very clear to me. He said, it's about my glory. That is why we gather. That is the main reason why we gather. In the Old Testament, when they built the house, you know, when they built the temple, it was about there where the people met with God. And the glory of God was seen in that place. And you knew when you went there, it was holy ground. It was consecrated. It was set apart. The Ark of a Covenant was there, which presented God's presence. And that was his temple. That was his house. Today, of course, we know, if we're born again, you know, we invite Jesus. We say, Lord, come and live in me, your Holy Spirit. I am the temple of God. But when we come together as a house like this, we say we're in the Father's house to glorify his name. Okay? So you're all still with me. No one want to run out now or anything? Good. Please, that's fine. Just stay seated like that. Okay. So we're going to read from Haggai, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of something, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while the house remains in ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your full. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Last year, I was in Cape Town, and the Lord gave me this scripture, and I was very excited, because it says, build my house. So the verse that says, go and build my house, stood out for me. And I said to the Lord, of course, Lord, I want to build your house. Since I could remember as a little girl, I loved the house of the Lord, the church. I couldn't wait to go to church. You know, I had to be there morning and evening. I loved it. And so when I got this word, I said, yes, Lord, of course. I can't believe you're still asking me, type of thing. I want to build your house. The next morning, I felt to again go to the scripture. And I read it again, and I'm excited, and I can think of a million things that I can do to help to build the Lord's house. And as I'm there, the Lord highlights this verse to me, verse 9. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Now, typically, I don't know if you are also like that, but I said, yes, Lord, the people are building their own houses. So I must pray, you know, that other people will stop building their own houses. And the Lord had to come very clearly and softly and gentle and loving as it is and tell me, no, you are building your own house. And I had to sit with the Lord and be like, really, Lord? Can't be. And the Lord had to show me where my heart was at. You see, because we can be in the house of the Lord and still build our own houses. We can be in the house of the Lord and our greatest desire is not to bring him glory and honor him, but for us to receive glory and for us to build our own houses. You see, the Lord said to me, you're building your own house in my house. He said to me, you're keeping the back door open. So if this house doesn't work out, do you have other options? Is that really building my house? Or are you busy with your own house? The Lord called me back to come to a place where, you know what, it's not about me. Every single part of us, God wants. When Jesus said, take up your cross, deny yourself, take up my cross, deny yourself and follow me, he didn't say so that you will receive glory. No, he didn't. He said it because so that we can be free and spend eternity with him. You see, we get so stuck in this world and this world and everything in this world tells us that it's about us. 10 things how to be the better you. You know, or whatever the world says out there, everything is pointed at us. Where God is, when we come to the house of the Lord, he's saying, It's all about me. It's all about my glory. I had to come to the place and say, Lord, I repent. And I acknowledge that, yes, Lord, this has been about me. And I was trying to build my house in your name. And I was thinking that I was doing it for you, but actually, it was more for me. And if there was an opportunity for me to run to another church or do something else because something wouldn't work, then I was actually just after my own stuff. And I wasn't there to build God's house. So, we're talking this morning about why do we come to church? We come to church for the glory of God. Now, how does that look like? I mean, it's easy for us to say, I want to see the name of the Lord glorified. When we come into the house of the Lord, we want to glorify, you know, he must be glorified. But what does that look like? Do we just fall on our knees the whole time? You know, how can we measure that in a way, if there's a way to measure it? I was asking myself that question. And then the scripture came up. There it is. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So what does that verse say to us? That God's glory is displayed in the face of Christ. Who is Christ? Jesus. Jesus the Savior. Jesus. Everything we do should be about Jesus. Because if everything is about Jesus, God's glory is displayed in this place. Last year was probably more than last year, because we're in 2017 now. Welcome. May you have a blessed year. I think 2015, I had a dream. And the dream was I walked into a church, and there was many nations in the dream. So it wasn't just one denomination or one language or whatever. In fact, they were doing translations in the church. And it was amazing, you know. There was worship. It looked awesome. And something happened outside. I went outside. And as I came back into the church, I just started speaking. Now, I don't know if you've had dreams where you just start speaking. And I stood there. While the service was on, I was standing in the back, and I said, Jesus is not here. And it just went so silent in that house, or in the church. And I continued, and I said, who are we worshiping if Jesus is not here? And then I said, let's go to where Jesus is. And it was an awesome dream, because people just started standing up and moving, and said, we want to be where Jesus is. My question today to you is, do you want to be where Jesus is? Do you want to be that person that displays the glory of God? Because why? Christ is in you. Christ, the living God, the one who came to seek and save the lost, that is who it's all about. That is what we are living for. And like that dream, we want to say, Lord, if you're not here, we don't want to be here. And we want to say the other way around, Lord, we want you, Jesus, to be the center of what's happening in here. Do you agree? Amen. Great. Someone is saying amen. Okay, great. So, do you want the Father's house to be all about Jesus? That's our question today. Let's look at our hearts. This week, we had intercession, and I really want to encourage you to come to intercession. It's a little Advent break. But on Thursdays, we come to... Tuesday, sorry. Let's make it Thursdays also. On Tuesdays, we come together and really just seek God's face. And I want to commend the intercessors in this house. Because when I got here, people were praying. You know, if there's one thing about this house, is that people seek the face of the Lord. They want to walk in these ways. And I remember my first night at intercession, I sent my friend a WhatsApp. I said, these people are praying. How amazing is that? I want to be in a house where people are praying. But anyway, so on Tuesday we were praying, and God showed us and led us, we believe, in a very specific direction to pray for marriages. Now, who here loves marriages? Or marriage, what do you call it? All the singles went up first. So there must be something about that, the marriage life. Okay. But anyway, so I've been told that it's very blessed to be married. So I like the enthusiasm in this room. But as you can think, praying for marriages, for us, we have a lot of things to say about marriage. I think surely if we start to talk between us, you will say, no, but you know, the husband must just do that, and the wife must do that, and if that couple can just get this, you know, especially the single people, we have so much to say about a marriage. Renier, you probably know a lot also right now. They've been married for 2 months. You see, so they're really experts at this stage. But so for us, if we think about marriage, there's a lot that we can say about it and think about it, okay? But as we were praying, we were asking Lord, but why is marriage just not working? Why, in a way, does it feel like that there's so much going on? Don't know how to say it. And the words we heard was this: you are a selfish, self-seeking, narcissistic generation. And you know what? We don't speak about that often. But it just hit me that in that moment, I think we all were just like quiet. And we were just like, Lord, do we even know you? What are we busy with? Because in our marriages, we can see if it's all about me, it's not going to work. You know, if Janet decides that I'm just going to cook food for myself, I'm not even going to worry about Marnus. I mean, he must just sort out his own things. You know, this marriage is not going to work. If she wants to go to this place and do that and just want her needs to be filled the whole time, it's not going to work. And that's the same with us, the church, and Christ. If we come to church and everything is just about me and what I want and how I want to grow and the next breakthrough that I want, then we're busy with our own stuff, and this marriage with Christ as a church, it's not going to work. So we have to let go of ourselves. We have to let go of ourselves. So just to show you that I'm not talking my own stories here, in Galatians 5, verse 21 to 33, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, Paul is speaking here to marriages, okay? And I love that he starts like that. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Who is the center here? Christ. Who is the center in the marriage? Christ. Who is the center in the church? Christ. He goes on, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or anything other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So why am I reading this long story to you? To make it clear that God is very much interested in marriages. It's not something that we should take lightly. In fact, we should do our utmost best in our marriages. To do what? To represent Christ. When we look at this, Jesus is saying here, or Paul is saying here, that a marriage basically teaches us about the church and Christ. That when we look at our marriage, it must represent the church and Christ in a phenomenal way. Like when I will submit to Jesus as a church in that same way, I must submit to my husband or my wife. And you know what? The Bible is full of marriages, by the way. It starts with a marriage, Adam and Eve, and it ends with a marriage with, you know, Jesus returning for the bride, for the Christ, the pure and the spotless bride, and all in between you can read about marriages. I mean, Ruth, how she went to Boaz, and all of that. There's a lot of marriages in the Bible, and God is very much into marriages. And guys, we should pray for marriages. Why? Because it shows us who Christ is. But you know what? It's also happening at the same time. The word says, especially in Revelation and in the Acts and on epistles, it talks about you should keep yourself from sexual immorality. And I was always thinking, why is this such a big deal? You know, they say it the whole time. They say it the whole time. And in the days that we're living in, we don't speak about that anymore, do we? It's like it just goes under the carpet, or, you know, we don't want to offend people, or we don't want to step on those toes or anything like that. But God says, keep yourself from sexual immorality. Now I want to tell you, when God says something, when the Spirit says something, or when He gives us these commandments to us, it's never to be, you know, like a madman or an angry man with a stick and say, you better keep up with this, and if you just step this way, He'll hit you that way. No, that is not our God. Our God is a loving Father. And when He says, don't do that, He's not saying it to get to us, or to for us not to have fun, or for us to, you know, not go our own way. He's doing it because He loves us, and He wants to protect us. Okay? So the things that the Lord puts in place for us is for our safety. So when we talk about sexual immorality, what are we talking about? We're talking about adultery. We're talking about fornication. Guys, we're talking about homosexuality. We don't talk about these things in the church anymore, and it's sad because it doesn't display Jesus and His church. And God is saying, you know what? I want you to come back to Me. I want you to come back to me with everything that you have. When we read Revelations and He speaks to the churches, what is He saying to the churches? We must go read that again. He says, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The main thing is that you will have no God above Me. In other words, nothing will come above Me. But also, you have forsaken your first love. Why? Why do we forsaken our first love? Because it's all about Me. Because it's all about Me. And you know what? People are looking for truth. We think we want to please people by saying things that will, you know, not hurt them or anything like that. But no, they want people to speak life into them. They want people to stand up and just say, you know what? I don't agree with you. And do you know what? In actual fact, you're being hurt. And when Jesus is the center, guys, we know that Jesus is coming back. We live in a generation where Jesus is coming back. And if you look at John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus, when Jesus came for His first coming, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And it's a time for us as a church again to arise and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Not because we want you to tell you how bad you are now, in actual fact, because we love you and we want you when Jesus returns not for you to say to me, why didn't you tell me? Why did you just want to please me? But God is calling us to stand up for who He is. And that doesn't mean we hit people over the head with the Bible. That starts where? It starts in our prayer closet. Where we start praying for people. Where we as a church start interceding for a generation that has walked away from Jesus. For a church that has walked away from Jesus. I don't know if you know the story of Noah and how he was naked. And the one son went and told the other people how he was naked. And the other two sons took a blanket and they walked backwards and they covered his nakedness. We're not here to tell people how bad they are and expose them and anything like that. We're here to take that blanket and to move backwards and to cover them in prayer. That to me is such a beautiful picture of interceding for people, of standing in the gap for people, of learning to love people for who they truly are. Don't start to speak to people about their faults if you don't have a little bit of love for that person. What does the Bible say? Don't judge. First take the speck out of your own eye, the bulk. Sorry, this fly. Don't judge, but come and ask the Lord for a heart for people so that when you speak to them, it won't come out of a place of judgment or thinking that I'm better than you. Because guys, we're not. That's not the place that we're coming from. We say, I want to see you see the face of Jesus. And I say to you, people's eyes are going to open. God is going to do things in us that we've never seen because we put Jesus first. And as we say, Jesus, you first, we just fade away. We just fade away. I think it was 2 years ago, so I said to the Lord, less of me and more of you. And I cannot describe to you how many times the Lord has to speak to me about things the words about me. You would think, again? You know, like this whole story with the house, again, Lord? But constantly, daily, the word says, we must take up our cross and follow him. Okay, are you all still okay? Okay, good, that's good. Bit hot, but we're getting there. So how does it look like when we put Jesus first? When this house, when the house of God is all about the glory of God. Well, we go and we read Acts. Who of you likes the book of Acts in the Bible? I definitely do. And over the holidays, us as a church had to read Luke and Acts, and it was amazing. I don't know who of you enjoyed that. But anyways, let's look at the story in Acts 4. So what happened in Acts 4, there was Peter and John, and they came to the temple, and it starts, they say, they came to pray. So immediately, you know, they didn't, it was a daily thing that they used to do, come to the temple to pray. And as they're walking into the temple, there's this guy sitting there, and he's lame. In other words, he cannot walk. He's been sitting there, he's begging for food. Because he cannot work and walk, he has to beg, and people helped him. They gave him money or whatever as they came along. And he said to Peter and John, please, will you help me? And Peter said, you know, I don't have money, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. And there the man stands up and he walks. Now that alone is such a miracle. Guys, speak to Janet if you want to know a bit more. But if you are lame for 40 years, the Bible says, and you get healed, your first reaction is not just going to be to stand up and walk. I mean, there's muscles that has not been working forever, you know, and ligaments and you would think I was a physio, but and joints and all those kind of things, you know. That is a miracle for that man from being lame for 40 years to stand up and walk. And the whole temple and the people there knew this guy because he sat there every day. And all of a sudden he's walking. And Peter takes this opportunity and he starts preaching the gospel to the people there with boldness. Preaching the resurrection of Christ, of who Jesus is, proclaiming to the people who Jesus is. So the Sadducees and the high priest, they didn't like this very much. And they, because it was late in the evening, they put him in jail, both of them. Let's take you to jail. Let's just, you know, get you not speaking to the people. After that, they didn't really know the next day what to do with them or how to handle them because they didn't really do anything wrong, did they? So they said to them, okay, you can go on this condition that you will not speak about Jesus. I like how they responded. They said, let God be the judge of how we should speak. But they went back, and we're going to continue their reading from Acts 4, 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Now I want to stop there. What a house. These believers, when I read that the first time, I said, Lord, what would we have done? What would have been our first reaction when someone said to us, you cannot speak about Jesus anymore? I can think about moaning, groaning, you know, what is the best solution? Let's make a committee, you know, anything like that. Like, what are we going to do now that people said we cannot speak about Jesus anymore? You know, and it's already happening in our country where, you know, can't have the gospel, the truth in our schools. You know, how do we respond? How do the body of Christ respond? And guys, this is persecution. I'm talking about even the simple things. I've heard that that person's marriage is really struggling. What is the first thing that we do? Oh, shame. Yeah, we should really pray for them. You know what? They must just get their act together. They must just start doing this and this and this. That is how we respond. How did the Acts church respond? They came together. I love it. I said they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So the first thing that they thought about was God. And how did they start their prayer? Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. So now, firstly, they exalt the Lord for who he is, and then they quote scripture. So not only are they pointing to Jesus, they know the word of God. They know what truth is, and they know that the truth about what God wants to do is in his word. It's not here in what we think we must happen. God displays to us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. As they say, you spoke by your Holy Spirit. And he says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against you, your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power will have decided before should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And what happened? After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I read that piece. I said, Lord, why is that different than when we pray? And the Lord said, because it's all about Jesus. You see, because even in our prayers, it's about us. Even in our prayers, it's not first and foremost for the glory of God. It's how I can get things. Or even how my church can look better. Or even how I can look better. Or even, you know, what someone would say when I prayed that. And it's so cool because God is saying, come back to me. Because what happened in Acts, God wants to do in us. Not so that we'll have an awesome Facebook status. Our church was shaken today. That's what we do, isn't it? It's all about me. How can I look amazing? God says, make it about me again. Make it about Jesus again. Well, what you do is for his glory. And when you tell someone about Jesus, it's not so that you, tonight at small group, can tell people that you told someone about Jesus. But you're telling someone about Jesus because you want them to see Jesus. And when we pray for people, we don't pray for people because we said we must do it. We do it because we really want to see people walking in the way that the Lord has prepared for them. And you know, guys, that is an amazing way. There's nothing better than walking with the Lord Almighty. There's nothing better. It seems like we feel like if we have to give something up, or if we have to let go of ourselves, that I'm going to lose out. And that's not true. That is not true. Even if now at this moment you feel like you're losing. Like Paul says, at this moment you feel like my body is wasting away. There's an eternity. And I want to tell you, it is long. And how we live today depends on where we spend eternity. And we forget about that. We're just living for the now and what we think is right. But God is calling us back to say, my church, will you arise? Will you shine again? Because you know what? There's a broken and a hurting people out there who wants to see the love of Christ. And at the moment, they cannot see it because they're just seeing us. But we want to display and we want to show Jesus. And when people see Jesus, they will see the glory of God. And wow, I cannot wait for that day when Jesus returns, because it's going to be incredible. And as the Lord says, will I find faith when I come? I pray that the Lord will find faith on this earth when he returns. I want to end off with Psalm 24. And I want to make it our heart's cry as a church and declare it over us and also over the church in Durban, over the church, not just Shofar, but the bigger church in Durban, that every church and every body and the bride of Christ will arise and say, Jesus, let you enter in. Jesus, come and take your rightful place in this place. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Jesus is the King of glory. We had an awesome small group on Wednesday, and we just said, Lord, how do we seek you? We want to know you. There's stuff about you that we don't know. You know what? It starts with the first step. Say, I actually want to. I actually want to get to know you guys. And it's not to say that today you decide I'm going to let go of myself and tomorrow you're the most perfect person. It's a daily choosing to say, Lord, I actually want to know you more. And how do we do that? We come back to the Word. Because we cannot say we know the Lord if we do not know his Word and spend time in it. Because the Word of God reveals to us who he is. And guys, when you open the Word, say to the Lord, Father, show me who you are. And I tell you, he's so faithful to do that. Because he wants us to come. And I always have this image of, and I think I told the ladies on Wednesday, we take a small step towards God and he comes with everything. Last night, before I went to bed, I said to the Lord, Father, just wake me up if you want me to pray. You know, one of those hoo-ha-ha moments. I'll pray for you, you know. God just shows us so many times who we actually are. And so half an hour after I went to bed, I wake up. And I'm tired. But I didn't wake up on my own. My foot was paining. So yeah, in my soul, it's not even pain. It's like a stabbing in my foot. And I would say plantar fasciitis, but I don't have plantar fasciitis, so it's not that. It's stabbing in my foot, and I'm like, it's so irritating, you know. But when I woke up, immediately I knew that God wants me to pray. Because I said, Lord, wake me up if you want me to pray. But I am so tired that I'm actually just wanting this pain to go away. So I'm praying for whatever comes to mind, but trying to get this pain out of my foot so that I can just go back to sleep. Eventually I realize, okay, now, Mrichen, you're being a little bit double-minded here at the moment. You said to the Lord, I'll pray, and now you want to get this pain out of your foot. But then I realize how gracious God is. And I realized that if we ask of him, he's not just going to give us, he's going to help us in it. You see, because I could have woken up without a pain in my foot. And I could have known that I must pray, but I was so tired, I would have turned around and I would have slept further. And God was like, I'm going to help you. This thingy there, I'm actually helping you. Because I can see there's something in you that wants to, but you're not totally there. And we will never totally be there. But you know what? We serve a God who is so gracious. And if we just come with the little bread and fish that we have, he comes and multiplies us and he helps us. Do you know how I know that? Because he sent us the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to say, go and try your best. Let's see how far you get. He said, I give you my Holy Spirit who is with you constantly. And he's called the helper who would help you. Guys, I don't walk out here today and be like, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to search. And I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, will you help me? Will you help me get rid of myself and fix my eyes on Jesus? Will you help us as a church to fix our eyes on Jesus so it will be all about him, the coming King, the great I am, the good shepherd? Let's close our eyes.